Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Hello and welcome to Podcast of the Lotus Eaters, episode 1288. On this, the 4th of November, year of our Lord, 2025. I'm joined by special guest Nate.
Hello.
Special guest Josh.
Hello there.
So thank you for coming, chaps. Right, today we are going to be discussing how there is no point talking to lefties.
I know, it's not the most novel of observations, but I have got some good examples of why it's just a massive waste of time, and I'm actually breaking down some of the reasons why there is no point.
Yes.
It's not to say that there aren't, you know, some people who are a bit more moderate, but the people with skin in the game don't even bother, don't engage. It's not worth it.
Very good.
But I'm not necessarily saying, you know, there's an undecided person who sort of tangentially follows the news and has some left-wing opinions. Just don't talk to them, because that's silly. That's how you lose.
I mean, if you want to be on the safe side, why not? We're going to cover how Whitechapel is an enclave.
Enclave. It's conquered.
Yes, it has. Yes. I've passed through there a few times. Couldn't help
you
but
okay?
notice.
Well, are you all right?
I'll tell
PTSD.
I'll tell my story when we get to that segment. And finally, over the weekend, I got a bit bored, so I decided to write a book. But the problem is, I think I need some feedback from these lovely chaps and the audience. So get ready to give me your literary criticism when we get to that bit. And without further, happy midterms to the Americans. I think they're getting Mondami today. So that will give us plenty of content for the next week. Thank you very much, Americans. Mm. I'm sure there'll be some other good races which will keep us in content for at least a couple of weeks. So well done you. You're doing a bit for the Lotus Eaters profit line. And with that, it's yours, isn't it?
It is indeed. So I'm going to be talking about why the left will never admit that immigration is a problem. And there's no point arguing with them. They've got too much skin in the game. And I wanted to start with this from Morgoth, because it frames it very nicely. And he says, here's what I don't understand. My feed is relentless churn of sexual assault, murder, gore perpetrated by the immigrants the government has brought here. Now, even if we account for the fact I'm in a far-right echo chamber, these stories are being carried by the BBC and Sky, etc., plus independent. So I think, how are leftists / liberals not seeing this? Have they become literal Eloi with no sense of self-preservation? I looked up what this was, and it's like,
isn't it the thing from the time travelling thing?
I don't know, but it is basically people who have no self-preservation. So they go up above ground and get eaten.
So there's Orson Welles. He travels into the distant future, and then there are these Eloi who live on the surface, and they're just completely tamed. And at night, whatever they're called, low time preference individuals come out of the caves and snatch them and eat them. And I think that's what it's from. It's an Orson Welles thing.
I think you might be right there.
Yes.
And then he carries on to say, don't think that could be them or their kids. It just baffles me. And I've been trying to sort of grapple with this because, you know, being a psychologist, it interests me how people can look at the world, look at this pattern that is so undeniable now. It's in all the mainstream media. It's not like it's some far-right narrative. People see all of the stories we're talking about. People see the patterns. And yet they're not saying anything about it. And I tried to pose an explanation for just sort of normal leftists, I suppose, if that's a bit of an oxymoron, but non-activist class. My thing wasn't working there.
Non-activist class is an oxymoron as well.
Swap those around.
Let me try unplugging the box.
My first attempt at explaining this was, for most people, if something does not affect their life personally, it may as well not be happening. Hopefully that works.
Give it a try.
Okay. Hooray! So for most people, if something does not affect their life personally, it may as well not be happening. I do think that that's a part of it. And then compounding this is the general unwillingness to seek out understanding statistics and probability. And they likely think wrongly that it couldn't happen to them. Because one of the things that I think convinces a lot of right-wingers is that we look at crime data, we know who's overrepresented. And this is a very one-sided thing. And it gives you a very objective, mathematically based approach to look at the world and say, okay, these are the people doing it. We've got the numbers. These aren't deliberately gathered in a biased way.
Yes.
Especially in this day and age. And so...
Well, and also your other point is I worry about this happening to my wife and children.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get why the lefties just don't seem to care about that happening.
Well, it's the probability thing, isn't it? In that people know that murder and sexual assault happen in the abstract, but they find it difficult to relate it to their own life because they don't know how frequent it is and how, you know, there are an increasing number of people who do this sort of thing. And we look at things like the demographic data and we're extrapolating, okay, well, there are X amount of potential knife
murderers. So you're saying that they don't just not understand per capita, but basically any statistical concept at all?
It seems like there's an unwillingness to engage in it. Maybe if they were more willing, they'd be able to.
Do you not think it's also... but 2 points, I guess. Do you also not think it's an element of willful ignorance of the data? Because there's enough information out there and there's enough publicized talking heads, mainstream media, that have stated just how high immigration has been, for instance. And yet when polled, the majority of the country still thinks it's in like 70,000 rather than 700,000.
But this is the same thing with understanding things like probability and large numbers. Like, people really struggle to grapple with it. And it's just a part of human nature. It's not necessarily even a partisan thing. There's also an interesting effect where people who are clinically depressed are much better at estimating the probability of natural disasters and things like that, where there are very interesting things that manipulate your ability to predict the likelihood of a tragedy. And normally quite cynical people seem to actually be better at guessing these sorts of things. And of course... The left are very optimistic about human nature. They might even say people are naturally good, which is insane to me.
Yeah, I don't believe. Do you also not think it's an element of complete lack of critical thinking skills that most people have these days?
Well,
IQs have dropped drastically. The educational system is appalling.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when presented with critical thinking exercises, most people fail.
I think there are too many people who in other areas are too switched on and then they have this blindness, as well as the fact that the IQ drop I don't think is necessarily amongst natives. I think it's been
increased. It definitely is.
You reckon?
I've spoken to some, that sounds wrong, I've spoken to some kids, but there's family members that you speak to and you go, no, you're an actual idiot, with all due respect.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think IQ has 100% dropped for sure.
It's entirely possible, but I think that there's, from my reading of the data, there's some mixed signals. It's not entirely clear.
Yeah, fair.
So there was quite a good example here of something that Elon said that wasn't really that objectionable, and I'm going to play it and then, you know, explain what he was referring to, and then we'll look at some left-wing reactions that are just completely ignoring what's actually being said for their own political gain, really.
Sort of small towns in England, Scotland, Ireland. They've been like sort of living their lives quietly. They're like hobbits, frankly. So it's in fact, J.R.R. Tolkien based the hobbits on people he knew in small town England, because they were just like lovely people who like to, you know, smoke their pipe and have nice meals and everything's pleasant. The hobbits in the Shire. So he was talking about, you know, places like Hertfordshire, like the Shire is around in the greater London area, Oxfordshire type of thing. But the reason they've been able to enjoy the Shire is because hard men have protected them from the dangers of the world. But since they have almost no exposure to the dangers of the world, they don't realize that they're there until one day, you know, 1,000 people show up in your village of 500 out of nowhere and start raping the kids. This has now happened God knows how many times in Britain. He's like,
so that last part is the thing that most people took exception to. And of course, he's being a little bit hyperbolic there because he's telling what it amounts to an analogy. He's explaining it in a more mythical sense, the nature of the problem. He's not using exact numbers and talking about a specific case per se. However, I think what he is referring to is this. So this was a story from a little while ago, back in February, where asylum seekers were moved to a village called Wethersfield. These are all single male asylum seekers, by the way. And I believe they outnumbered them by at least 100 people at the time of this article. It could even be more now. I don't know the numbers yet. So it only had a population of 707 people. But in February, it had over 800 migrants. Let's see if I can find a picture of the place. It's not exactly the best. But obviously, this is very similar to what he was saying, that just overnight, you can be inundated with nearly 1,000 fighting age men in your very small village. And this was only, you know, a few days ago, I think. End of October. One of the people in RAF Wethersfield, where these migrants are being kept, was posting videos on Snapchat of him owning AK-47s, pistols and knives when he was at home in Yemen. And sort of suggests that maybe these people are a little bit dangerous. I don't know. Obviously, he didn't have them here, but he could, you know, hypothetically.
The other thing is they don't kind of close the doors on these asylum centres because they say, oh, well, they're not prisoners. So they all just wander around the little village.
In the community, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's horrifying. And what's even more horrifying is that at the minute, a number of the security staff at this facility have walked out. Apparently, 22 out of the 31 security contractors did not show up to the site.
Well, that's not a great loss because most of them are bloody foreigners anyway. Have you ever seen any of the videos of these places? Most of the security are bloody foreigners, which I just
leading
think,
the blind, is it?
Well, yes. I mean, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy, isn't it? It's this circular economy. Bring them in, hire foreigners to secure them, bring more in, hire foreigners to secure them. Honestly, look at all the videos. I've rarely ever seen any white people that are working the security on these sites. People that can barely string a coherent sentence together, actually. Disgraceful. Actually disgraceful.
So the reaction to what Elon said can be epitomised by this. It's amazing how much leftist discourse is just them pretending not to understand things, thus making discourse impossible.
Shout out to Millennial Woes.
Yes, out of all the interesting things he said, it surprised me that this one was the one that went really viral, but I've included it anyway, just to, you know, add salt to the wound. But here's one of the best examples of, I actually live in a small English village, and it's total codswallop what Elon Musk is saying. We're not hobbits under siege, we're ordinary people. How rude to patronise us like this. It's fearmongering dressed up as folklore.
Oh, well, okay then, Liz, no worries, mate. You're fine. Don't worry about everyone else,
This
Liz.
Is the equivalent of, I know a tall Asian person, therefore not all Asian people are short.
I mean, all it says is that her particular English village hasn't had an asylum centre yet. I mean, that's all she's
Which
saying.
Is what people were pointing out. And then there were people in the comments just like, I live in a small village and we had an asylum centre and it's terrible.
Mm.
So it's not really disproving it. You have a sample of one to define an entire nation. And it gets worse than that. So, you know, one of our devoted listeners, Russian Garbage Human, replied
champion.
With this. He is indeed. Points out that she probably lives in a very white area. Mistakenly says it's the Cotswolds, but...
Did she reply and just say it's racist?
This is a racist post that assumes crime or social strain is about race. It isn't. There's a deep poverty and social neglect in rural areas too. So all of these farmers going around, you know, committing urban crime...
Oh, so she believes that
that's the real
crime
issue.
Is caused by poverty.
Poverty.
Okay, well, why in the Great Depression did crime not go up?
Also,
why do black millionaires also have the same crime propensity as poor blacks in America? I mean, the stats are out.
You can
it
look
is
at
caused by race.
You can look at London as well, and the rates of poverty, you know, poverty as it's measured in the modern sense, are highest amongst Bangladeshis and Pakistanis in London. However, the rates of violent crime, they're not nearly as massively overrepresented as black Londoners, who are actually better off and less likely to be in poverty than they are. And they, of course, commit the majority of violent crime. And so it's absurd, of course, they only represent 13% of London's population.
But have you considered that's just racist?
That's true. But she lives near Swindon, which is interesting, because I've lived in Swindon for 5 years, and it's the worst place I've ever lived by a mile.
Swindon is genuinely awful. Like, yeah. For crime.
And also, most of the time I'm the only white person here. And if there is another white person, usually they're Eastern European. And they've got a 1,000-yard stare, just like, why did I come here? Why don't I move back to Poland?
Carl does keep insisting, every time that I say Swindon is a shithole, which I say at least 3 or 4 times a day, he does keep insisting there's nice bits around the edges. So maybe...
That is true. It's sort of like it's like one of those commuter towns that the people who are actually making money drive to London or Reading or Bristol, or one of the places where you can actually earn money, because you're not coming to central Swindon, are you?
Well, I am, but God.
Yeah, well, we all make mistakes.
Yes.
So she carries on to say, dividing people by race is lazy politics. The real problem is the same everywhere. Inequality, austerity, and government failure.
Oh, okay, so if the government just spent more money, as if it's not spending enough already, there would be no crime.
But there's no getting through to this woman, is there?
Brexit reality.
Yeah, Brexit reality. Social justice, one nation in the hashtags. This is
ideological indoctrination.
This should be studied.
Yeah.
There's no way.
There needs to be a doctoral thesis on this individual.
You could, you know, Clockwork Orange style, pin her eyes open and show her the crime stats, show her the patterns.
Yes.
It won't make a difference. There's no point. There's really no point. They're lost. Look at it. In this, the year of our Lord 2025, this sort of thing. And then... There's a worse bit of information. I'm not sure whether this is true, but it circulated. At least 175 Afghans were placed in the village of Watchfield overnight and secretly by government under the ARAP program. The local donkey, the name is wrong, I looked up the donkey's name for some reason, was shortly after gang sexually assaulted in her paddock. She now lives under 24/7 CCTV protection. Elon got some details wrong, but you know, well, the general picture is not good. And... he sent this about a donkey assault, and the details are horrible. I'm not going to read them out because I want you to...
That's really sad.
So the official line is that there is absolutely no connection between nationality and race and crime. However, it was just a complete coincidence that 175 Afghans got shipped to a village and a donkey was immediately raped.
I guess so.
That's so... weird thing, but donkeys have a special place in my heart. No, they really do, and it's really sad. Donkey sanctuaries around the country are severely underfunded now, back when, say, when we were kids and beyond that, because, of course, demographics have changed so much, people aren't giving charitably to these places. So, side note, if you're watching, you're in England, go to a donkey sanctuary. They deserve it, right? They need some support. So it's just sad. It's genuinely sad. And it's a choice, isn't it?
And if things get really bad, they can rebrand as brothels.
Well, yeah, in 2050. Yes.
So, Alistair Campbell shared this Liz Webster post saying he is sick and dangerous. And, of course, Alistair Campbell, known for working for the government that lied about weapons of mass destruction and led us into Iraq. I don't know about dangerous.
Why is he still a thing?
I don't know. I don't know why he hasn't retired in disgrace, but...
Why anyone still listens to that clown is beyond me.
Speaking of clowns, here is another one.
Eccles.
Yes. He's replying to this. Worries about immigration are manufactured panics, as charity as poll shows issue not a local concern. And he says, the immigration crisis is manufactured hysteria created by billionaires to cause panic and fear. I don't know. Maybe it's the people stabbing people in trains or dance classes or... targeting our young children. I think that causes enough panic and fear all in its own.
So me and Beau did a segment actually on this exact polling on the State of Politics. Go check it out. So what he's quoting there, the manufactured panic, is actually what an activist group stated about the polling which the polling themselves, the data was misrepresented.
So that sounds about right.
Yeah. That is complete slop. Mm-hmm. And they got the slop sirens to prove it.
Excellent use of the term slop siren. I love to see it.
Needs to be done.
And just other people, just like, I was in the Peak District yesterday, barely escaped with my life.
Not a single brown person there either.
I know.
Like, could you make the point any clearer?
Mm-hmm. Because right-wingers see this and are just like, yeah, well, this is just, it's still a nice English part of the world. Yeah. It hasn't been touched yet.
I don't see a kebab shop, a vape shop, and people milling around next to a barber's.
No, so, exactly.
Yeah, that's still English. Mm-hmm. You are proving the point, literally proving the point.
And then Dara O'Brien came out, crawling out of the woodwork, saying, this is genuinely insane. I mean, just worryingly divorced from any reality. How desperate are people to believe this nonsense? Well, we don't want to believe it, but unfortunately we have to because it's the reality we're living in. I showed you.
I saw this. You are going to do the follow-up, aren't you?
What follow-up?
I think he replies to himself further down. I'm sure you're going to... No.
Go ahead, Dan. Anyway.
Here we go. No. Where is it? There's basically somebody mentioned something about rape children, and he's like, "What rape children?"
I did see that. Yeah.
Yes.
And then they're just like, "Have you not heard of the grooming gangs?" And then loads of people tagged.
And this is the thing. It is so mad that I cannot understand. Does he really not know that kids have been raped on an industrial scale? Or is he just saying what he needs to say to secure his next BBC contract? Probably that one.
Yeah.
You have to be living under a rock, and you can't do the kind of work that he does without following the news and knowing what's going on.
Yes.
You have to sort of be able to follow things, don't you?
Yeah.
I mean, he did run a show called Mock the Week where they followed the week's news, didn't they?
Yeah. So Yes, fair point.
He's literally got a science book for kids, apparently, as well. How disgusting. So you want to make money out of kids, but you're not you don't care about their safety. You're a disgusting individual. Yep. Contemptible.
Well, I promise you, further down, he does say something along the lines of, there are no rape kids.
I did see it. Oh, he deleted it.
Funny.
Here's another one. Musk is descended from people who actually turned up in villages in Africa and stole from, sexually assaulted and murdered the indigenous people. His wealth stems from the emerald mines his ancestors stole. I didn't realise Africans can own the emeralds in the ground.
That's also just not true.
Yeah, he didn't have an emerald mine.
No.
But also they didn't, like, how South Africa functionally became the indigenous. That's not what happened. Mm-hmm. So it's just a complete misrepresentation of history.
His father was an electrical engineer, not an emerald miner.
And also, South Africa didn't exist until the Europeans turned up and built it. So it's ridiculous. Like,
I don't see them complaining about the current black population in South Africa that were never indigenous there.
Mm-hmm. The Bantu expansion that is displacing...
There were native people, but they all got butchered by the Bantus. Yeah.
They were just Bushmen. Mm-hmm. So what he's saying factually just didn't actually happen. Mm-hmm. That didn't happen.
Yes.
And no mention of what's happened now with the current black population now just displaced everyone anyway. So
unless Paul O'Connell thinks that Elon is a Bantu, then it
maybe
makes sense.
He's an albino.
Yes, it's possible. Albino Bantu, that could be it.
He needs a little pygmy sidekick. I know you like a good pygmy.
Oh, yes.
And then some people are just far less subtle about it. Just action needs to be taken against him.
Ah, so the London Economic, they're a left-wing account, are they? They retweet me all the time, and I wondered why.
Do they?
Yeah.
Do they?
No, it's, what do? They do something with me. They put me on lists and all that kind of stuff.
Part of Politics Joe family, aren't they?
So, a very left-wing thing. Go.
And a progressive voice for a metropolitan community. That can't be more left-wing. I get added to lists all the time.
I remember them popping up recently.
But anyway, obviously the patterns are undeniable. Here are just some recent cases that I think this is the Centre for Migration Control has put together and shared by Cunley Drucker.
That is presumably just just October.
Yeah, it may as well be. I think there are a few here, like the Swindon ones I recognise from just under a year ago. So I think this might stretch for the past year, but even so, it's widespread enough, all these sorts of unthinkable things that never would have happened before the age of mass migration. And one of the things that I think is important to bear in mind is where do these sorts of people live that say these sorts of left-wing things? And the handy-dandy thing is, a lot of polling finds these yellow areas that vote Lib Dem. If you've noticed, all the nice villages that are still nice and untouched by mass migration, they have these Lib Dem signs in their windows. It's very infuriating. Yeah. I would like to put a Somali on their front lawn and they can squat down and poo in their roses. But all of these people in these Lib Dem areas that are projected to go Lib Dem, by the way, they haven't voted yet, are isolated, because this is sort of the Southwest and the rural areas that haven't had contact with these people. Areas that have had contact with them are turning to reform in droves. Look at it, even south of Wales, poll.
So I live in the very yellow bit near the bottom there, and
this one here.
It's very nice because, you know, it's homogeneous and there's no crime and stuff like that. The downside is all your neighbours are upper middle class lefty twats who don't have a clue what's going on in the world.
Bunch of midwits.
Even down in my neck of the woods there, which is still the last city in England that's 90% plus white British, has gone reform, because they've just had, basically down that way, we had an influx of black people and then crime went up.
Yeah.
Stranger things have happened.
Another coincidence.
And of course, it's worth looking at the fact that these Lib Dem areas, oh look, it's the block of the white bit of southern England. It's funny how there's this overlap. It's almost like you don't have any contact with the people that are making all of the people who live here, all the natives, their life hell. It will be coming to them, though, because Labour's planning to disperse more asylum seekers and just immigrants more generally into smaller towns. Operation Scatter, isn't it?
I hate this so much.
It's
evil. Recent report that they released talking about the cost and just the process that happened and their take-homes. Their take-homes were the most infuriating thing ever. I hate this so very much.
I was annoyed enough when they were integrating social housing with new builds and things like that. So if you buy a new house, you have to
there's an allocation for social housing.
That's quite old now. And even that made me furious. So this is even worse. And of course, there were people talking about the Lord of the Rings analogy as well. Blah, blah, blah. But I'll skip over this, I think. But basically, he's outlining how before in England people were good and, you know, there were hard men who defended them, which basically amounts to soldiers and borders.
Yeah.
And that allowed us to have the quality of life and a good civil society. And now we're being exposed to what amounts to the scouring of the Shire. Although he does say the time for the English to ally with hard men like Tommy Robinson and fight for the survival, or they shall surely all perish. I don't know about that one.
There's a really good old quote. I can't remember who to attribute it to or exactly how it goes, but it was something like, the reason you can sleep softly in your bed is because hard men stand ready in the night. It was something like that. And that was from the early part of the century. Problem is because those hard men did their job so well, it was actually peaceful to sleep at night. So eventually people thought, well, why don't we just get rid of the hard men then?
Yeah, luxury beliefs have set
in. It is luxury beliefs, yeah.
This is the thing, yeah.
And then people were going on and on about the Lord of the Rings analogies, not getting Lord of the Rings, like people saying Lord of the Rings is about diversity overcoming hardship.
No, it's not.
Which I will be addressing in a round table at some point, because I'm sick of
it. It's just simply not the case.
And lots of mainstream outlets picked it up as well, compared Brits to hobbits before making outrageous immigration claims.
Brilliant.
To be honest, the reality is worse than he outlined there.
Mm. Brilliant.
And things like this. Elon Musk really doesn't get the Lord of the Rings, just trying to point out that, he's stupid, he doesn't get a film, and things like that. It's just missing the point, ignoring the immigration comments altogether. But the point being that these people don't have an incentive to learn from any of the lessons that we have, to notice these patterns, to look at the crime data, and admit the hard realities. And many of them are isolated from the actual realities because they don't experience it in the day-to-day. And the unfortunate reality is that unless people experience something directly, most people cannot understand something, which is very frustrating to me, because, you know, you should be able to see something on a screen or read a news story or read about it and understand it. But unfortunately, that's not the world we live in. People actually need to experience these things. And I don't see this going away. It seems to be an intrinsic part of human nature. And so my lesson is this: there might be a few people on the left, the soft left, that you can convince, but some of the devoted activists, don't even bother. Don't even engage with them. It's a waste of your time.
Also, if Elon was in Lord of the Rings, he wouldn't be an elf. He would be the wizard who's secretly an alien, but is pretending to be a man.
He'd be a sort of Gandalf figure, would he?
Yeah, something like that. Don't know what colour he'd be, the white or the grey or whatever. Do you want to do some of your commentary things? Pick out some good ones.
Sure. Blimey, I've got a few. I'll start with YouTube, shall I? Delivery driver here in Poland says, Tomas, how poor can you be? I don't know what that's in a reference to, but I'm glad.
You are quite poor, aren't you?
Me?
Is that what you say? How poor can you be?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Is he referring to me or just in general?
I don't know, maybe it's just really, you know, kicking the ribs.
But yeah, Poland's doing pretty well, so you must be doing all right. Luke Stewart says, g'day, she reminds me of those brainwashed chicks from Avatar The Last Airbender saying there is no war in Ba Sing Se. That's the quintessential example, isn't it? And in a leftist mind, Manchester and Huntington wouldn't have happened if a 35-year-old could attend a youth club above a cost cutter. Yeah, that's what we need, more youth clubs. Mm. And then Thomas says, sorry, your joke of humans versus aliens. Oh, okay. And Arcadia says the Lib Dems will find out eventually because the asylum population will inevitably spread out from the cities. Where's Carl? Still friends. Carl's doing another recording. He's been on holiday, hasn't he?
Mm. He was in Australia or something.
Italy, wasn't it?
No, he missed.
Well, they refused his visa.
Ah, right.
I'm losing my voice.
For hatefulness or something. Right.
Sorry. Could you do the rumble things?
I've got but they're all only a pound.
Shall we just move on to white chat?
Yeah, go on then. Sure. Go on then. Cough up, chaps. Cough up. We're busy chat fever.
On Samson. There you go. Excellent. Right. Okay. Excellent. Right. Are we all right? Are we good?
Yeah, I think we're
sorted.
Sorry. Awesome. Tippity top, sir.
So Whitechapel has been conquered. I thought we would just take a good look through Whitechapel, the absolute state of it, because something went viral recently, a picture, and it's just telling, and it kind of builds off what you've started with and will build quite nicely into what you're going to be talking about. But it's really important to note is that, I don't know, 2 decades ago, 3 decades ago, Whitechapel wasn't like this. And the rate of the expansion should be terrifying. Actually, it should be terrifying to everyone. And it should be a wake-up call, because this is coming to everywhere else.
I actually looked into some of the history of Whitechapel, because I've been writing an article about it. Mm. So I basically argue it's the first Islamic no-go zone in the truest sense.
Yeah.
And it used to be a Jewish quarter at one point, and how that has changed. And before that, it was an area for poor native British people. And it's
the
interesting how
stomping ground.
It was the craze, and also it was
blind beggar
Jack the Ripper as well, wasn't it?
Yeah,
who we recently found out, we revealed him, didn't we? Mm. He was a Polish Jewish immigrant, which makes sense because he was in the Jewish quarter at the time.
Yeah.
So it's got a lot of history, and none of it is praying to Mecca.
No. It's a rich history, and it's been stolen from us. It is an enclave in its truest sense. So this is the sign that was seen around the world. And I mean that because this individual, Alistair Hilton, shared this image and says, it says Whitechapel, apparently, 14.6 million views. Now, obviously, you know, we can see from this image some gobbledygook language that shouldn't exist in this country.
Is that Sanskrit, Hindi, I don't know.
To be fair, that's been there for a while now, for quite a while.
Yeah, no, I know. No, 100%. 100%. This isn't new.
But it got attention recently.
But it got massive amount of attention, and I thought it was worthwhile covering because of the expansion element of Whitechapel.
I should probably point out to the audience, anyone who's not been to London, Whitechapel is, I mean, it's right in the centre of London. And it should be absolute prime. Like, I mean, it's just up the road. You can walk from the Tower of London to Whitechapel in like 5 minutes.
Yeah,
it's right next door to it. And when I was working in the city, every so often you'd have somebody new to London or an American who was assigned to London, and they'd be like, "Oh, property prices in London are mental." And then they'd find a flat listing in Whitechapel, and they'd be saying, "Oh, I'm going off to see a flat in Whitechapel." It's like, "Oh, okay, we'll see you tomorrow then. Let us know what you thought about it." And every time they come back, it's like, "My God, I am not living there."
Yeah. It's not a nice place. It's not a nice place at all. Now, obviously, this image got a lot of attention. Now, that says Whitechapel in whatever language it is. There should be no sign in this country.
It's Orcish.
Yeah, it does look it, doesn't it? From the gates of Mordor there. But there should be no sign in this country that's in a foreign language. There shouldn't be at all, actually.
I mean, maybe some in the re-migration centre, you know, this way or something.
No, because then you give them the opportunity to refuse and speak to some human rights lawyers.
Yeah, possibly.
Less informed, the better. Yeah. But people went mental, understandably so. So the quotes on this were heavily comical, and I just thought we'd take a look at it. London first, my guess is Birmingham next, and then the rest of the UK. And I think I would be surprised if Birmingham doesn't have signage like that.
I've seen it with my own eyes.
Oh, is it so there is, actually?
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Great. Excellent. So you can see the Birmingham is the second largest city in the UK.
It's actually less white British than London as well.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah, it's completely conquered. Yeah, Birmingham. Well, you could do a whole section just on Birmingham, quite frankly. Conquered, absolutely conquered. Susan Hall with a banger, unacceptable. This is England, we speak English. Those that don't and live here must learn the language and, dare I say, integrate. Can't say that, Susan, come on now.
Ooh.
Behave.
The word integrate is... It's
racist.
Yeah.
It's racist. Not allowed to say that.
Also, I don't want them to integrate. I want them to leave.
Yeah, no, neither do I. And then... The very predictable things happened. Yeah, how did you figure that one out? And obviously, for those just listening, there's a zoomed out image because, yes, there are two archways at this station and one does say Whitechapel in English. But this is not the W that you think it is. It's not the W that you think it is. This is indicative of the takeover of Whitechapel, the enclave that is Whitechapel. In fact, this makes the point, right? It makes the point quite succinctly, is that, it should just be in English. It shouldn't have the stupid language next to it. That should not be there. It shouldn't be there at all. Yes, you have to have it still in English for the odd occasional English speaker that works their way into Whitechapel by accident. God help them that when they do, they need to find out where they are. This is not good.
It's also a sort of tacit admission that integration hasn't worked and will not work, because what actually happens is that people form ethnic enclaves. It's true of every ethnicity throughout human history because it's a part of human nature. Even the Brits in Spain do it, don't they? We form our own enclaves with our own pubs, our own institutions, because we prefer being amongst our own people, which is normal and fine, but you shouldn't impose it upon a native population.
No, but also further to that, you won't hear anyone arguing that if the English in, say, Spain were to be deported, that they shouldn't be deported. That is Spain's right. They can do that if they wish. But also, they probably won't, because one, we have money. Two, we don't shit in the street. And three, we don't rape and murder people.
So. It's very clear when you go to Whitehall, Whitechapel, actually, because, like I said, it is quite central in London. I mean, it's just this weird anomaly in otherwise very high house. Well, I mean, I say it's got cheaper housing. I mean, it's still like a million for a flat there.
By London standards, though,
yes. By London standards. And anyway, so the thing though, Whitechapel is it has got a large NHS walk-in centre that's open all night. Oh. And on one occasion when I was in London, I'd been in the city and I had occasion to visit an NHS walk-in centre. I can't remember what it was for. It definitely wasn't the clap. It was for something. No,
it's not that.
I'm just mentioning it just in case anyone thinks
sounds,
it's that.
That sounds like doth protest too much.
It certainly was not that. Anyway.
Definitely not.
No. So anyway, I go to this NHS walk-in centre and it's staffed entirely by like Bengalis or whatever they are. And I was there for quite a while and it became very apparent that they were simply not going to see me.
Yeah, because you're in the wrong place. That's their area.
And I'd like been there for like 2 hours and then some Bangladeshi would come in and they would be seen straight away. They'd take them straight through. And they had a sort of ranking hierarchy. It was Bangladeshis got seen immediately.
Like a caste system.
Blacks were seen second.
Whitechapel.
And whites were seen only if they absolutely had to. They truly ran out of people. And there was this other white guy in there who came in after me did, and he was getting like properly irate about it because it was so naked and so obvious what they were doing. Mm. And I just thought, well, yeah, fair enough. I mean, they own the place. I mean, this is their territory. So, yeah, maybe I should just F off, which I did, and found a private doctor.
Well, that's disgusting to me, quite frankly. Absolutely disgusting.
Portmore.
Yeah, no, 100%. I'd bulldoze Whitechapel in an instant and just rebuild it. It's disgusting. So, I mean, you know, you could go through these replies and find all the nonsense. Like, it's awful. It's an awful place. Racist, divisive, dictatorial behaviour towards real Londoners.
They're not real Londoners. Not a single real Londoner in Whitechapel. I've seen it.
I mean...
Yeah, I've been to Whitechapel loads.
They're not white, so they're not Londoners. I mean, that is as simple as that anyway. Also, that's not
English.
You
won't hear Cockney walk up and down the bloody Whitechapel High Street.
Whenever I've been to Whitechapel, there's only ever been one white person there, and that's me.
Mm. I mean, yeah. Yeah. The replies on this were a wealth of comedy, quite frankly. But we'll move on to some other illustrations of Whitechapel just being a complete enclave and how this will come everywhere else, and you can all be depressed by it. So, another one. From this Alistair Hilton guy. So now I'm here in Whitechapel on my way home. If only there was some relief from Islam.
Saving lives.
Since what date did they pick? 9/11?
1984.
Right.
Now this is
got
that...
two towers there, haven't they?
This is that Islamic Relief Fund thing, which has actually been banned in a lot of the Arab countries because they don't know, they believe that obviously it's being funneled elsewhere, the money that this relief fund compiles together is kind of funneled elsewhere. But I mean, this is not illustrative of the state of that area. I don't know what is, like, why is that there? What on earth is, what, that's, what?
I mean,
I hate it.
In my mind, Islamic Relief would be a
mass deportation.
Yes.
Yeah. Islamic. I mean, I'd fund that. I'd be game for that. Yeah. But this
Islamic
is
Relief
absurd.
Is when you hear the ticking and then the beep is getting very sudden and then you hear it go, pff, and nothing happens.
Oh, big sigh of relief.
It's go. Oh,
thank God.
The vest didn't work. Thank goodness.
But again, I mean, that alone. Why is that there? Now, that is actually in other places in London. I don't think it's signposted on the tube stations like this in other places. This is pretty unique to Whitechapel. There are one or two, but this is pretty unique to Whitechapel.
Do you know what Islamic Relief actually does? Because I'm trying to imagine it in my mind, and it's like, help, help, I'm drowning. Call the nearest mosque.
Yeah, no, so the Islamic Relief Fund funnels money to the Middle East. Now, a lot of the Arab countries have banned this. They don't allow it because it's supposedly a charitable thing. But the belief is that they are funneling it to terrorists, basically.
Is it another Muslim Brotherhood front?
Effectively, yeah. Like, right. That's the sort of funneling.
Okay, it's nothing to do with massages.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. So, yeah. What? To do with what? Sorry, massages? What?
Yes.
I mean, pick your poison, no. I guess. Islamic.
I guess not. No. No, what you said is probably more likely.
Well done. This just made my point perfectly. Again, he just came out with this banger. I mean, so for those just listening and not watching, there is a man walking down the street with a carcass.
One eighth of a cow.
It's about a quarter of a cow's rib cage hung over his shoulder.
Just in broad daylight.
Apparently, according to the Post as well, this is my favourite part of it, that it just came out of a regular old van. Like a transit van.
Not a refrigerated van, just a normal van, carried through the streets. So you can go to Whitechapel, see it every single day. It's not AI, it's not Photoshopped. This is Whitechapel, and different rules apply here. Because it is an enclave, you can just see this disgusting third world behaviour. And it is disgusting, and it is third world behaviour. This is not becoming of an English town, city. This is foul. It's grotesque.
He spent all of his money on nice, trendy golden welly boots rather than an insulated van.
Yeah.
Well, very nice Wellington boots.
Or basic plastic wrap for the...
Yeah.
You're lucky that it arrived in a van. They've got those tuk-tuks now in London, which is, again, a disgusting thing. We should have on the tuk-tuks in London. But it could have been on one of them.
Back of a donkey, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. Well, no, they use them for other things, don't they?
Yeah.
So
dual purpose.
Well, yeah.
It was the donkeys in the Islamic relief centres, maybe.
Ah.
Yeah. Connecting the there.
Right, okay. So again, enclave. It's conquered. And again, this will come to your sleepy Lib Dem village. Like there's no way that it won't. This has to be stopped.
Abdul, the meat carrier's coming for you.
And again, this guy. He just posted a string of bangers. So he then posted this picture, this Alistair, and says, "It's interesting as I walk through Whitechapel tonight that I've noticed Sadiq Khan, the mayor of London, has managed to remove every single British Union Jack flag from lampposts. But the Palestinian flags are still up, including this one that's been here for around 2 years."
Right.
Fascinating. It's funny that, isn't it? Funny that.
He's also captured a UFO.
Yes, I was just thinking that. That's a bit worrying, isn't it?
Well,
imagine if aliens came down and they landed in Whitechapel and they're like, you know what, civilization, it's not here yet, let's go.
Yeah.
They turn to each other and say, the only way to be sure is to nuke it from orbit.
I'd approve of that. And so, again, just to, I guess, round out and sort of make my point a little bit more, this is actually Whitechapel, just as an FYI, this is actually Whitechapel. So we'll just play that now.
Not even tables, just crates turned over. Look at all this economic benefit.
All that GDP. Look at all that diversity. With not a single white person. Oh, that's what diversity means, isn't it? Yeah, no white people.
Who needs to go on holiday when you can go to the Middle East on your doorstep?
Thing is, to be fair, though, it isn't just Whitechapel. There are loads of bits of London that look like this. You could walk down and think you're in Morocco. There's a bit over the other side of town as well. You go a bit north from that cinema on the corner of Regent Street. You go up from that and that's just exactly like it as well.
I find that genuinely horrifying and terrifying, actually, because I make the point that 30 years ago it wasn't like that.
Well, it's just a perfect recreation of their home. It's a complete refutation of this notion that people integrate, which they definitely don't.
Yeah.
And yeah, when you import people from third world countries, they recreate third world conditions. And there's no reason for these people to be here. They are just forces of civilizational entropy. They offer nothing but misery and some useful clients to push down the native population's wage.
I think it's really been in the last 20 years that it's comprehensively stood out. So I went to London, I think, in 2000 or maybe 2001. It was 2000. And that was obviously just after Tony Blair had got in. And there was pockets of stuff like that, but it was just kind of a bit in the background. It's a bit like how it is in Swindon now, actually, that there was bits of it and you'd see them milling around on the street and stuff like that. And then over the course of 20 years, it just grew and grew and grew and until it was unavoidable. Well, when I avoided it by getting the hell out of London. But the problem is when this stuff spreads to, as you showed in your segment, the little villages, Well, you run out of places to retreat to at that point.
Yeah, and it, the exponential growth rate of that population is facilitated by my tax, and that's what pisses me off so much, is that we are paying to just be replaced. You know, we subsidize their children. We subsidize their housing. We subsidize everything in their life. And it's entirely avoidable. It's entirely infuriating. So yeah, sorry. So black pilled you there, but yeah, Whitechapel conquered. Soz.
Yes, Whitechapel today in your little village next, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you want to put anything interesting you can see on the screen down there that's worth having a word about?
I think the yellow ones there haven't been read. Those bottom three there from YouTube.
Well, they're some of yours there, look.
Oh.
Put this on a shirt if you want, but I say, if there is no equal application of the law, nor equal enforcement of the law, then there is no obligation to obey the law. And that's from Matthew Nunya. Last name business.
Oh, somebody in the Rumble has paid £10. I'm going to read that one.
I didn't hear it. I was reading. I'm sorry.
Matthew Nunya, last name business.
There we go. I got it.
Wait.
Second time around.
No, very good. Yes, I've got there. I've got there as well. Tulibri, for £10, thank you very much, sir, says Ratko Mladic
General
is a hero.
General Ratko Mladic, who I believe has been on trial for war crimes.
Oh, that one?
Yes.
Right.
And they're saying he is a hero.
Ah, okay.
I don't know much about him, to be honest.
I don't know who that is.
He looks a lot like Stuart Lee.
Amazing.
Okay. We might have to have a look into him to see.
Gimli O'Gloin said, if we don't do something now, there won't be a Shire anymore, Pippin. Yeah.
And that I quote for it, yeah.
I prefer the version of that meme where Pippin's got laser eyes and he says there will be a Shire.
Oh, I like that. Yeah.
I like that one.
Javier says, good day, lads. I'm going to do some boxing now. Save Sudan. Oh, that's in response to, was it Stelios? Did a segment yesterday about Christians being subjugated in Sudan?
Yes, yes. Quite
well, that's if they're lucky.
So yeah, Ratko Mladic is a Bosnian Serb former military officer who led the Army of Republika, or the VRS during the Yugoslav wars.
Right.
He was found guilty of, and then it cuts off, probably war crimes.
Mm.
Committing war crimes against crimes against humanity and genocide.
Don't know much about the chat, but I'll have a look into that. Right, so I'll tell you what, lads, I need help with a project that I've started, and I'm putting the shout out to you two, as you know, I'm sure you've got a keen literary mind, but also to the commenters, you know, chip in with your comments, because I'm in the process of writing a book. I'll tell you how it all happened. So at the weekend, I was on my bathroom floor, and I'll tell you why.
Sorry to hear that.
Yes. What? Well, the thing is, I've got a wife and two daughters. Now, lovely creatures that they are, women. The moment you put them in a shower, for some reason, they start shedding hair like an Arctic yak in the first flush of summer. So
exactly what you mean.
Yes. Every so often, I have to get down there and sort it out. So anyway, there's me in the plumbing pulling hairballs the size of post-apocalyptic rats out of the bloody piping. But I was listening to an audiobook, you see. I was listening to the Flashman Adventures, which are bloody brilliant. He goes off on his swashbuckling adventures and he puts through every harlot between here and Singapore, and he wins claim and a fame, and, you know, maybe battles a few pirates, well, he runs away from a few pirates, so on and so forth. And I was listening to this and thinking, ooh. Even though there is no need for anyone to write literature anymore on the basis that the Flashman novels have already been written and that was really the last word on any literature that ever had to be written, I was listening to this and thinking, maybe I have got a book in me.
Mm.
Maybe I could write something. And I pondered this more and I thought, well, okay, where do you start when you write a book? Well, you need to start with the world building, don't you? You need to set the world in which it is all set. So I got my typewriter and I've come up with this. This is UK...
How did you...
2520.
How did you go from a typewriter to a PowerPoint presentation?
Well, there's a... You can export it or something like that.
Sort of world building, yeah.
Yes. And the way I've got 2520 is I just swapped the years around. So I took 20 and put that at the back and moved the 25 to the beginning, because apparently that's what you do when you write a dystopia. Anyway, so it's about UK 2520. And this society, the whole catch is that they operate a murder lottery.
Oh.
Yes.
I'm listening.
So here we go. Here we got the prizes. If you win top prize, you and your whole family is massacred. Five numbers in the bonus ball, you're stabbed in the street. Five numbers, your daughter is dragged away and assaulted. Four numbers, your son is beaten on the street. Three numbers, you are arrested for speech. And two numbers, you are censored and overtaxed. So it's a kind of lottery system that they operate in this world. So it's based on England, but rather than the green and pleasant utopia that we actually live in, they have this sort of murder, you know.
And you have to do this.
Oh, it's mandatory. Yes.
Oh, right.
It's mandatory, the lottery in this system.
Right. Right.
So
I guess most people would probably get two numbers at all times.
Can we go back to the mode, Samson, and go down a tab? There we go. Go down a tab. Go down another one. Here we go. Right. So here's the world building. Now the problem is, as I started to go through it, I let the wife read the first draft, and she started saying that bits of it were unrealistic. You'd never get away with that. So let me take you through my world building. So anyway, this murder lottery was introduced in the 1950s as a sort of way to build the NSH, which is the National Starvation Hospitals, and the ideas behind that you can save lives. And it's got its first big boost in 1997, when a very capable politician by the name of Evil Stare became prime minister, and he was a big fan of this lottery system. So, and he leads a party called the Labour Rhinos. Now they don't often win government, because every time they get in, they bankrupt the country. But because he's such a gifted politician, this Evil Stare chap, he comes up with a clever idea. He's going to call them the New Labour Rhinos, and that's enough to get him elected, you see, because people think, oh, well, it's completely different to, you know, the old Labour Rhinos, which constantly bankrupt the country.
I'm struggling to believe that, but I'll hold my suspension of disbelief.
Well, that's the thing, right? I thought, yeah, I mean, I can't make this too unbelievable, but in this world, that's enough to get him elected, you see.
That would mean that the population are retarded.
Well, yes. Yes, there is that. Anyway, so he massively expands the lottery. But he wins three elections. So the Consocialist Party developed this sort of Stockholm syndrome and decided that the best way to oppose him was to become him.
Oh. Right? What would be the point of deposing him then at that point?
Oh, I hadn't thought of that.
But then they can get the joy and riches of the lottery. They can ones that draw the numbers, right?
Okay.
I'm going to add that to my notes. Good thinking, right? Right. Anyway, then Evil Stare is replaced by his long-term chancellor, Brooding Frown, who immediately bankrupts the country again. Right, and then that ushers in the 14 years of socialist rule.
Oh, that sounds like dystopian nightmare, to be honest.
Yes,
I do find this very hard to believe. What are there any parallels to the real world that you can find here?
Well, I mean,
it's tough, isn't it?
I'm trying to make it believable, but Samson, can we have the next slide? I'll go on my world building. Right, so then we get the Consocialist era, right? And it's led by this chap called David Craven, and he's the sort of first new era Consocialist MP. Now, he promises to reduce the lottery winners to tens of thousands.
Right.
He actually explodes it into the hundreds of thousands, obviously.
Sounds like an absolute...
Yes. And he gets into this massive feud with this chap called Tibble Barrage. And it's what it's all about is, at the time, we were in this mega state known as the Evil Union for Standardized Suffering and Regulation, which everyone just shortens to EUSSR. Right. Now, David Craven is so confident of victory, he calls a referendum on leaving the EUSSR, but he loses it and then he quits.
Bit of an undignified end, really, isn't it?
Yes. But I think that's believable. I mean, I think that could happen in a real life scenario. So
yeah.
So why not?
Traitor, you know, losing to his own hubris. It's like out of a film, isn't it?
Yeah, quite. Can we have the next slide, Samson? Here we go. Right. Then Tragic Mayday takes over, who is another Consocialist prime minister, and she's got this logo which is lottery means lottery, which is all very well, but her premiership ends when she accidentally wins the lottery, and she goes right now during this period. Like, there is a whole number of high-profile lottery winners. You see, the way the government's got it set up is that they like it when individuals win. But every so often, by sheer chance, you get a whole bunch of winners.
A mass event.
A mass set of winners in at one time.
Right.
And that kind of gets all people, you know, a bit jittery. So on the London buses and tubes on a memorable day, 8-8, a whole bunch of people win the lottery at the same time.
Mm.
And that causes disquiet. However, that was an illegal lottery operator. So he goes to jail. And I'm also thinking of including a subplot where that guy gets released in 2024.
And someone may... I mean, I'm just throwing out a wild... that maybe the judge releases him and says, good luck with your life.
Ooh.
Wish you all the best.
Yes, I like that.
Yeah?
Yes.
May you... potentially win the lottery again, maybe even.
Yes.
And I presume that because all of these lottery winners, it all happened in one place, people start to think, well, hang on a minute, how random is this? This seems a little bit rigged, doesn't it? It seems like if what are the chances of all of these people winning the lottery in some of them in the same tube carriage?
Yes, whole tube carriages winning the lottery all in one go.
That's just a statistical unlikelihood.
Yes.
If ever I heard one.
Is there a pattern with the winners, potentially?
The way I think it works in my universe is that if you live in, say, Birmingham or London, even though you're mandated to you know, take lottery tickets, if you live in London or Birmingham, you get given a lot more.
Ah.
Whereas you live in the Cotswolds, in a little village, you might only get one ticket a week or something.
They're very affluent, so they don't necessarily need the lottery, do they?
Exactly, yes.
So it's a sort of feudal lottery, in a sense.
Something like that, yes. Mm. Something like that. And there's, you know, Tower Bridge, where loads of people won the lottery in one go. There was the Liverpool Arena, where whole families won the lottery all in one go. Mm-hmm. And what this starts to do is it starts to turn people against the lottery because they had sort of just going along with it. You have to remember, there was the house booming generation who had been brought up with this lottery system. And they'd watched TV all their lives and they'd just been told time and time again that it was a good thing.
Yeah, okay.
And people who are coming up through school are just told constantly this lottery is the best possible thing that you can have. And so nobody questioned it until, you know, things like, you know, the Tower Bridge and the Liverpool Arena and the 8-8 mass lottery wins.
Maybe there's even two events at Tower Bridge, potentially.
Yes, quite. Right.
Yeah, but just a further.
It's just a particularly lucky area, isn't it? There are just areas of the country where you're more likely to win.
Well, speaking of lucky areas, I was going to throw in that across the channel in the EU-SSR, there's winners everywhere. So sometimes entire German Christmas markets can win the lottery, and whole districts of Paris are. I mean, if you go to Paris, you're basically guaranteed to win a prize, even if one of the lower ones.
I mean, can I add a slight change to your world building? That so many Christmas markets win that they no longer call them Christmas markets anymore through fear of winning.
Yes.
Again.
Yes, that's a good touch. I also like somebody in the comments said something like. The reason they're doing the lottery is because of the GDP. So you've got to keep thinking about the GDP and you can't take the lottery away because of that. Yes, very good.
I like that, yeah.
Can we have the next slide, Samson?
It's starting to become more and more believable now, isn't it?
Right. The next Prime Minister comes up. This is a guy called Bozo Jumble, right? And he was a lifetime opponent of the lottery.
Mm.
And he won in a landslide because he promised to end the lottery and get us out of the EU-SSR's draw system.
He definitely would do that then, wouldn't he, in this? Is he a story?
Well, there's no roadblocks, there's no inability, so this is the sort of redemptive character, right?
Yes, but then I remembered that thing that they did in Game of Thrones where it's spiking expectations or whatever it's called.
Subverting
expectations.
Right, okay.
I thought, well, a good bit of fiction... Well, I'm going to throw in a curveball here. So what I wanted to do was take something which is perfectly normal that has happened to people forever and suddenly make people deathly afraid of it.
Ah.
So that's why I had the idea of rumours spread of a new form of morning breath called Brefid. Right. Now, it's a disease, and the only symptom is that you think you might have it.
Mm.
But everybody gets really terrified for no particular reason one day of Brefid, and people have to walk around with triple breath mints.
Mm.
And you know, if you go into a shop without a breath mint, you know, people will sort of verbally abuse you, and you won't be allowed in, and you have to show your breath mint pass and all that kind of. Now, this was the bit where the wife said, "No, that is so ridiculous. No society would tolerate that." But I'm sticking to my guns. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Bad breath is gross. I mean, it's very smelly. I can see this happening.
Well, you see the way they did it, right? The way they did it is that on the news, if you died for any reason within 28 days of having morning breath, you would be counted as a Brefid death.
They'd be talking about how they were a daily coffee drinker, you know.
Yes.
Sometimes they forgot to brush their teeth.
Yes.
And they would build a profile. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they talk about people who, you know, they had one cup of coffee maybe. They were maybe even 15. And they point out, well, they you know, they'd only really started indulging in things that might give you bad breath, and immediately they got it.
Yes. And, you know, my missus was trying to poo-poo this and said, look, you know, this is completely absurd. Nobody suddenly becomes afraid of a perfectly normal thing all of a sudden to the point where it cripples your country. And I was like, well, no, I think I can sell it. I think I can.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you had this sort of daily total sort of record.
Mm.
A large figure that scares people because, of course, they're notoriously...
Round the clock as round the clock.
People find it very hard to compute these sorts of things. And if you're dealing with a nation of, say, I don't know what the population at the time, but say around 70 million people, then figures in the tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands sound very scary, even though when extrapolated to a population of that scale, that might actually be very, very few people.
Maybe this place, this land.
Yes, the UK, I'm calling it.
Yeah, the UK could have learned from, I don't know, maybe another country that was potentially really, just really adept at controlling their population.
Yes. Yes, all right. Now, this does ultimately go away because a company called Pharmacon Global managed to sell tracheotomies. And as long as you were promised if you have one, you could go back to normal life. But they end up have people walking around with three tracheotomies, and that is considered, then you can go back to normal life. Anyway, the reason I include this is because during the Brefid panic, when nobody was allowed out of their home, just in case they had bad breath, Bozo quietly expanded the lottery to millions. Millions.
Why would he do that?
I haven't thought of the motivation yet.
Maybe to be accepted by some.
A
newspaper.
Maybe to make the FT like him. That's a good point. I'll have to make a note of that. Samson,
I think that's definitely believable.
Give me the next slide, Samson. Right. So then we've got a brief bit where he's replaced by Lizzo Trustfell, and this is just going to be a chapter. It doesn't take very long.
Oh, right, okay.
And so her story is that she tries ever so slightly to reduce tax on the same day that the BOP, the Bank of Printing, dumped billions of bonds onto the market. And when bond prices collapsed, everybody blamed Lizzo rather than the bank. Again, the wife said, nobody's going to believe that. But I'm confident that people would believe that, especially if you've got the media to say it.
I was going to say, maybe we're, again, almost round the clock blame.
Mm.
Maybe that.
Yes, for years afterwards.
Constant, in fact.
I mean, you could probably coup a person by using those methods, couldn't you?
Well, that's what I said to the wife. She wasn't having it. She said, this is nonsense. Nobody would ever believe it. Right. Then we got a new prime minister called Rushing Subprime, and he doesn't stick around long. And he's just in there as a comedy sidekick because, you see, he never actually wanted the job of prime minister. He was only ever doing it to pad his CV before applying for a Silicon Valley tech firm. So, So anyway, he calls an election. That completely vaporizes the Consocialists. Right. Next slide. Samson, there we go. Right, so then the Labour urinals return, and they are now led by a chap called Queer Bummer, right? And And there is an unfortunate situation where a dance class in the north all win the lottery in one go.
Oh, that would rile people up, I think.
Yes. And this faction...
Were they potentially... I don't know if you added it, but maybe you could make them children.
Yes, well, that would be even... Then, yes.
And then people would decry it, because, of course, how unfair that children would win the
yes.
lottery.
The thing that would have the most emotive impact would be a group of young girls, wouldn't it?
Oh, God, like that'd be awful, yeah.
Good addition.
Well, I am writing a dystopia, a horrible dystopia that couldn't possibly exist because nobody would stand for it. So that's a good that's a good point, actually. I like that. Anyway, so there is this faction growing of these what people who are called definitely correct, right?
Oh, okay.
And they don't like the lottery, and so Queer Bummer is basically, he just goes to war with definitely correct. Now, I should note on the definitely correct, it's the worst thing that you can be called in this world is definitely correct. So you got like the consocialists and the reform-ish party, and they don't mind being called correct. If you have the label definitely correct in front of it in square and scare quotes, you know, that's a slur.
Right. Oh, that yes. sounds...
And the worst thing you can be called in the UK is definitely correct. And in fact, I'm even going to put a little thing in there where there's this, in this universe, there's the podcast of the Beetle Munchers, and two of their presenters were kicked out of the reform-ish party after they said things on why that would be considered definitely correct.
I see.
Yes. tell me if this works. I've even got a funny little side plot.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yes,
I'm here for it.
Where basically Queer Bummer wants to go to war with China after an incident where a handful of Tibetan male models set fire to his car and back door.
Oh,
I remember this. Yeah.
Yeah, but again, the missus thinks that's just where would you get that from? That.
I also, I don't think people would stick around to question that for too long either.
Yes. So I don't know if I should include that on.
That'd be like half a page, if that. Because I don't think...
Would these...
I don't think people would sue that.
Tibetan, would they be monks? Would they have shaved heads? Or would they...
Possibly, yes. Why not? On the orange...
Depends who Bummer likes, I guess.
Yes. Now, the funny thing is, throughout this entire period... Every post-war government has promised to get rid of the lottery. I mean, they all promise, we're going to get the loot of the lottery, and then they do the complete opposite when they come in, so which is a bit odd. And also, they're always promising to crack down on the illegal lotteries, even though that's a tiny problem compared to the official state lottery, which is odd. Next slide, Samson.
Almost like they're scapegoating the illegal lottery rather than the state lottery.
Yes. It's almost like they're trying to distract people. Oh, there's also another subplot where Evil Stare returns and he wants to tattoo a QR code on everybody's forehead in order to protect us from the lottery. Now, how it protects us from the lottery, we don't know. That's never stated.
It's like a lucky symbol, perhaps. Gives you good luck. Maybe.
Yes.
Like a rune.
Possibly. Now, he tried to introduce a barcode tattooed on everyone's forehead in 2004, but... there was so much pushback against it, he couldn't get it through. So he's come back with the digital version, the QR code, to be tattooed. Right now, Tibble Barrage, he's come back again, and he has ruled out, because he's going to win the next election, because everybody's so fed up with the lottery at this point, that they want an end to it, and he is seen as being the most anti-lottery candidate going. However, he does this interview with Herbert Barrington. And he sits there in this big wing-back chair, and he's got this kind of froggy face type thing, and he just sits there shaking his head and saying, "Look, it's impossible to end the lottery. It's just impossible. It can't be done."
Right, right.
And he points out that by 2050 there will be more lottery winners than losers, so it's impossible to do anything about it. The best he can do is this one in, one out policy, where they get rid of an illegal operator and replace it with an official lottery operator.
At 50-20. You've gone back in time there ever so slightly.
Oh, yes. I'm going to have to swap that around as well. Yeah. Yes.
50-20, but yeah, okay.
Yes. Next slide, Samson.
Sounds like a traitor, though, doesn't it?
Yes. Yes, you're right. Right, so by the current day, this is the situation. By October 2024, oh, I'm going to need to change that date too. So by the day that it's currently set, somebody is winning the lottery basically every day.
Wow, that would surely infuriate everyone.
You think? You don't think people in this world would just sit meekly by if somebody won the murder lottery every single day?
Well,
might be scared. They might deny that the lottery is even going on. Denial's a very strong thing.
That's true.
They might.
Well, I mean,
they might even tell us that the lottery is a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, they should be annoyed by it. But yeah, I guess you're right that maybe they just wouldn't care that much.
Well, that's what I'm struggling with, because the wife was reading this and she's saying, look, no, if there would be a revolution in the country if you held a murder lottery.
What about all of the state apparatus pulled in such a way to not only deny it, but maybe there could be lottery nudge units?
Oh, yes.
Within the,
yes, I like that. So there's a lottery nudge unit so that if your relatives win the lottery and they get, you know, taken out, somebody from the lottery nudge unit will turn up.
That's amazing. The lottery, yes, that's great.
What and convince it? You to go on TV endorsing the lottery.
Yeah, sing its praises. Yeah, I think then maybe people would continue along that way.
Brilliant. Mm. Brilliant. Yes, and so the state of things, what I've got to in my book, is that everyone involved in politics spends all day accusing everyone else of being definitely correct, or insisting that they themselves are definitely not definitely correct. You know, it's like kryptonite to Tibble Barrage. Mm. He doesn't want to be seen as definitely correct. He says, look, I'm correct, but I'm not definitely correct. Yes, because it's, yes. Oh, and also they've got a subplot with the Chancellor, Ration Reaver. She's trying to increase the tax until nobody has any incentive to do anything. Next slide.
That sounds like full-blown... Mm.
So here's the political landscape. We've got the Labour rhinos with Queer Bummer, who arrests everybody who disagrees with the lottery. We've got the Con Socialists, now led by Karma Badenoch, and she's basically going around saying that we will definitely end the lottery if you elect us this time, because her party has betrayed everyone forever. You've got the Reformish Party, led by Tibble Barrage.
And of course, the Con Socialists, the person running it, is one of the people that draws the lottery in the first place.
Well, yes, yeah, so somebody who comes from a country with incredibly strong lottery. And apparently left that country on the basis that the lottery was so rampant there. That would be a good take. We've got the Literal Bureaucrats, led by Ed Drowsy, and he wants to rejoin the Evil Union for Standardised Suffering and Regulation Lottery. We got the Deindustrialization Inchalar Party, led by Smug Podskansky, and he wants to increase the lottery until everybody wins and turn off the power grid. And then we got another party, and they've just got a stand-in name until they can pick a better name. But they've decided to go with Your Murder, led by Jeremiah Commune.
At least it's honest, I guess.
Well, I kind of admire that party, because they're the most honest of the entire bunch of them. And he basically just says he wants lottery operators in charge of everything.
That sounds like it. The system would be rigged in their favour.
Mm. Yes. And again, I'm not sure why, again, that people would vote for that. But they might, you know, one of the bottom two might end up being the official opposition.
Is it maybe because there's so many lottery winners?
It could be that.
That they then gain power through that?
Could be that. I mean, that is really dark and dystopian.
But he might run the risk of winning the lottery himself if he expands it too far.
Well, there is that, yeah. And, well, that's a funny thing. You'd think these people would be more worried about that. Have we got the final slide?
Well, I suppose if you believe that you are capable of controlling the lottery, you don't think you can be killed by it.
Ah, good point, yes. So this is the problem that I've got, because I'm not sure that anyone will believe that, one, any of this is possible, that a country could possibly get this screwed up, that thousands of people in the UK would support the lottery, despite the fact that people were getting murdered by this lottery on a daily basis at this point, where you knew your children weren't safe, and yet still thousands of people support the murder lottery. The other thing that I'm wondering how to sell is why anyone living in this sort of dystopia would still be afraid of being called definitely correct.
I'm going to say people end up not being scared of being called definitely correct, and it's only the political classes. In fact, I'm gonna go out on a limb and say how you should do it is that the nation, in fact, almost embraces being called definitely correct because it's been used against them for so long.
Yes,
and it's only the political classes that worried about that.
That could be good, but it's
so blindingly
yes
removed from the nation.
That is a good point. The other thing that I'm struggling with is would people believe that if you lived in a dystopia like this, that there hasn't already been a civil war to stop the lottery?
Yes, and that I actually don't believe.
Yeah.
That I struggle with.
Because you'd think if you lived in a society like this, you'd do something about it, wouldn't you?
When you've been betrayed decade after decade.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe people are just so beaten down and demoralized that they just accept the lottery going on and
on. Well, so long as you don't win the lottery, you know, life was still going on as normal.
Well, yes,
and you can sort of pretend that the lottery is not going on as long as you don't see it personally.
Well, I suppose so, yeah. Yes, there was that. So anyway, that's the book that I'm trying to write. It might seem completely fanciful that people would live in a society like this. But I'm hopeful that I can get it over the line and that I can convince you that you know that this is a plausible if dystopian society. Although why any of us would want to live in a society like that, I can't imagine. So leave your comments and give me pointers as I flesh out the book. But yes, thank you for your help on that one. Mm. Yeah,
got a fair few rumble chats there.
Iron Bean says, based on Dan's rules for dystopian book titles, George Orwell was a time traveller from 84-19. No, he wrote it in... Okay, I see what he's done there. It was supposed to be 1984, wasn't it? Yes, okay, I might have got that slightly wrong.
1849.
Oh, I see what Thomas is asking. I ask again, how poor can you be for me, 1989? So he's basically saying, how poor are you willing to go?
Ah, right.
For it's a problem. I think that's what you're trying to say.
Possibly.
I mean, I'm already as poor as the 1970s, so I can't really go much further. I want to go back to hunter-gatherer times. At least I'd stand on my own 2 feet.
Moomin says, can we not clone Nelson and get him on the channel? Hurrah! Huzzah, maybe.
It'd be nice.
Xavier Sandalhard says, good day, lads. Imma, going to do some boxing now.
Read that one.
Okay, right. And what about the other? Oh, here we go. We've got Glee 777, who says, here, Birmingham, there are more lottery operators than lottery players. Oh, that's interesting. Cranky Texan says, everything in this story is about CBDC and a social credit control system to replace the petrodollar. That's why the QR code. Ah, they need it for the central bank digital currency. Yes, that does make sense, actually. Yes. Yes. I didn't think that the politicians wouldn't be honest in my dystopia, but you're probably right about that. Dwight Power says, maybe another good thing to add to your fictional universe would be some sort of goblin race with funny shaped noses who... Oh, I can't read the rest of that, unfortunately, because it's all cut off at the bottom, but I probably shouldn't have done anyway. And have we got any other? Is that it, Simpson? Do you need to do any scrolling or anything? Because I've...
Yeah, that was it, really.
Oh, here we go. Thomas says, David Craven sounds like a proper tool. Could you have him some sort of sordid backstory, like he put his unmentionables in a pig carcass? Well, no, nobody would believe that. I mean, come on.
It's already been in Black Mirror anyway, so...
Yes.
Be plagiarism, wouldn't it?
Well, there's that. Yeah. Right, let's go to some sensible video commentaries.
ID cards loaded with personal details are used to track people's movements. Goods that are deemed dangerous are tightly controlled. If you want to buy a knife in this cutlery shop, for example, the purchase is tied to your ID, as this salesman demonstrates.
Right. Actually,
I've seen that before, yeah.
That's horrendous.
I mean, that will be coming to the UK if Labour has their way.
You've got to register your knife.
That would definitely stop.
Yeah,
Huntington.
Well, I mean, the Amazon thing attack, didn't do it, but that definitely will.
Yeah, no. Yeah, you come on. Have some. Yeah.
So about 40 years ago, I had the pleasure of visiting England, that marvelous green and pleasant land. I was visiting London during a rare English spell of sunshine and warmth. Back then, it was a high trust society, and I had a chance encounter with a classic English cop. Blue uniform, tall hat with a big silver badge on it, a quite genteel older officer. Now, well, how things change.
Yeah, I wouldn't advise visiting London again anytime soon, but some parts of the country are still very nice. I don't think I visited London until I was about 17. I was nearly an adult before I visited London for the first time. Opposite end of the south for me, isn't it?
Mm.
So I've only ever known it as sort of the UK version.
Mm. Is that all the video comments, is it?
Yeah.
Right,
okay.
So.
Right. So.
Okay. So Maria Manzi says, in the past, I had some tolerance towards the disingenuous left. No longer. Any disingenuousness should be pointed out in any debate loudly and clearly. No more. When did you stop beating your wife? Questions or comments should be tolerated. Yeah, blimey. If someone's pulling that one out, you just ignore it. Shut it down.
Mad.
Not the right turn of phrase there, but... someone online says the left smugly pretend that they don't understand, but they do. They just don't care. That is true. They don't engage in debate honestly because they honestly believe that the right is saying what they do because they're selfish and bad people, and they believe that they're the only good and moral people, and the right have got some sort of moral deficiency that is innate to them. They can't be cured, and the ultimate conclusion of that is that they should be killed.
Well, these are the same lunatics that want to preach that they care about the environment, but also want to flood the country with immigrants, therefore having to demolish the environment.
Mm-hmm. So none of greenfield sites and
none of what they say makes sense. It's complete, illogic.
Get loads of Indians chucking bottles in the river. Henry Ashman, ideologues have always been the same. If reality disagrees with the ideology, then it's reality that's wrong.
Hmm.
Very true. And then I'll read one more. Ewan Baker says, these people are sick. They call this act a sexual emergency. Eh? Don't get what that's referring to.
You're not talking about
the donkey, is it? Yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah, yeah.
Blimey. It didn't even occur to me.
If they catch the guy, he'd just get let off immediately.
It'd be guys. It'd be multiple. Yes.
Mm.
Could you imagine going to a few of your mates and saying, you know, that I've seen this donkey.
Mm.
Been looking at me seductively all afternoon.
I've seen that ass. Ba-dum-ts. All right, anyway.
Makes it a bit more believable.
Yeah.
Like that.
Ed Miliband, harnessing Enoch's spinning grave, says, I believe in their tongue, the sign above the entrance says, speak, friend, and enter.
Good
I like
Tolkien
it.
Reference there.
I like it. Justin Phillips says, RE Whitechapel, the Welsh are a global and UK minority. Whitechapel, London, and all of the UK need signs in Welsh. We're more oppressed and a minority than those Asiatic types.
Well, when you go to Wales, the Welsh signs are everywhere. It's tremendous fun to figure out what they're meant to actually say as an Englishman. But I really like Wales. That's not me having a go.
Yeah. Arizona Desert Rat says, I don't consider it weird to be hauling around a side of beef, but it's weird and sanitary to buy it out of the back of a van and not have it wrapped. Blair.
Mm. I agree.
Well, yeah, not in a refrigerated van either, remember? And last one, Baron von Warhawk says, the English used to rule the world. Now you can't even rule your own capital. It's coming. It's coming.
Right, so Michael Dribbleis says, Dan isn't writing a dystopian novel. He's writing a prediction of the future. No, it's pure fiction. Just listening to Dan's description makes me laugh and then stop for a moment and think, well, shit. Yes. He also says, Dan's future novel is sounding more and more like a parody. No, it's purely made up. There was no connection to individuals alive or dead, I think.
There's no parallels.
Yes, Yes, exactly right. Henry Ashman, the UK feels just like how radioactivity works. There's loads of unstable atoms milling around, and at random, with no prior warning, they may decay, releasing a lot of energy. There's also potential for it to run the risk of triggering a chain reaction if there's enough of these unstable particles together at once.
That's a very good analogy,
yes,
actually.
I like that, actually.
It's a very, very good analogy.
Yes. Sophie Liv says, George Orwell wrote 1984... just observing the Soviet Union and writing exactly what he saw, this could become a classic.
Mm.
Yes. Well, I think you know, if I had the level of success that Orwell had, I'd be happy with that.
Well done, yeah.
Yeah, sell a few copies. Roman Observer says, you leave the EU-SSR, but plot twist, the politicians who now run the UK are the same that made the EU-SSR in the first place. That could happen.
Yeah, it could be the case that we leave the EU-SSR in such a way that actually we don't leave the EU-SSR at all.
Just in name.
In name only. And in fact, if anything, it's even worse than before to punish us for even wanting to leave in the first place.
So what if we do all of that and pay them $54
billion? Mm.
Pay them for the privilege, yeah.
Yes.
No, that makes sense.
No, actually, nobody believed that. Mm. So that wouldn't work. Right, so... Any last shout-outs you want to do on anything?
I don't think so.
Check out the State of Politics channel that I run with Bo. It's really cool. You'll love it. Check out.
Good. Very good. Excellent. Oh, you got a channel. Have you still got a channel?
I do indeed.
Right.
It's just my name, Josh Firm. Check it out if you want. It's all right.
Spelt the French way, not the... You know.
Scottish, thank you very much.
Is it? Right, okay. Very good. Well, there you go. So check out those channels. I don't have one. And...
He does have a book.
Well, I'm working
on the way.
Well, I'm working on it. And we'll see you in the next one.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. Social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right Rug.